The following podcast is brought to you by Iconic Nation Media.
Welcome to Unpacking with Jennifer. I'm your host, Jennifer Sattel. This is the podcast where we get real about all the things, from raising kids and managing family life to balancing work, endless activities, and somehow keeping your home organized through it all. As a mom and a professional home organizer, I know firsthand how overwhelming it can be. But here's the thing, organizing isn't just about pretty containers and tidy shelves. It's about creating systems that work for your busy life, so you can spend more time enjoying your family and less time searching for lost shoes. Each week, we'll dive into everything from decluttering your home to simplifying your schedule, handling the chaos of kids' activities, and finding that elusive balance between work and family life. Because let's be honest, we're all trying to figure it out. Welcome back to Unpacking with Jennifer, and I have a special guest today, my beautiful, amazing, favorite person in the whole entire world. I cannot stop talking about her, Charlotte Grace. Say hello, Charlotte Grace. Hi. Charlotte, tell them, what is your favorite animal?
A dog.
How many dogs do we have?
Four.
And what is our last dog that we got, the youngest dog that we got?
Hazel.
What do we think about Hazel?
Sometimes I get really mad at her, but most of the time, like, she's just really sweet and I love her.
I know. These dogs, we keep adopting them. We can't save them all, right, Charlotte?
Yep.
When we move into a bigger house with a big farm, what's going to happen?
We're going to get 1,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000 dogs.
We're going to get seals and otters and doggies and duckies.
Okay, maybe not.
And polar bears and baby grizzly bears and all the animals, right?
We'll think about it.
Okay, let's tell our listeners who are so excited to finally get to hear your beautiful voice, what grade are you in?
I've been 13.
And do you like your teacher?
Yes.
And
Bubble
skincare. How many times did you think we were supposed to do it a day?
Two.
No. We were good. Mommy, we're supposed to do it 5 times a day.
I'm okay, like, that's not. That was a joke.
No. So now it's 2, so we don't break the bank and have to get
I don't even do it twice.
I'm just messing with you, beautiful girl. Listen. Say hi, say goodbye, tell everyone you're going to be on our next episode.
I'll be on the next episode.
Do you like helping mommy organize?
Sometimes.
What do you consider organizing?
Just putting my shoes away, not even really. I don't know, just like making it organized, like making stuff look nice, yeah. Like in my class.
Like washing your teeth, but not putting your stuff away. Right? Washing your Barbie's hair, but leaving all your shoes on the floor so I can trip on them and die. Yes, that is the best. I love it. I love you. Say bye. Say thank you. Thank you, everybody, for listening to Charlotte, and we'll talk to her very soon. Bye. Bye, sweetheart.
Love you.
Okay, there she is. She is a rock star, and she was very nervous, even though she loves to talk more than I do. I can't even believe it. This kid talks more than I do. She actually said this morning when David got her breakfast from McDonald's, because every once in a while she likes their breakfast, and I went over to her and I said, wow, that's a pretty big breakfast. And she goes, I said, what happened to your hash brown? Because that's like her favorite thing. And she said, I don't know. That's what I'm talking about. I'm like, I don't even know what that means. So I had to ask David, where's the hash brown? And then he gave it to her. She's like, that's what I'm talking about. I'm like, I just said it. How are you talking about it? You don't even know. She doesn't even know what she's saying. She just says stuff. So this week has been a fun week. I've been sick with a cold, and then Charlotte got a little bit of a cold. So that's always fun because, as we know, as parents, as mommies, is very different when you're sick with a child. And you also have a husband who, when if he gets sick, he's an even bigger child. And when you get sick, no one gives a shit. Literally, you're the only one that gives a shit. And you're like, please just let me make it through the day. And on Thursday, I woke up and I couldn't even lift my head off the pillow because I had the worst like sinus thing going on. And I don't really think anyone cared. I think no one cared. I cared. But that was it. Just me. And David will sometimes sleep like if he's really sick because he's the biggest baby in the world. He can sleep like 16 hours in a day. if he's not feeling good. I can like barely sleep, and if I do, it's like half sleep, half probably waking up, coughing or whatever. He could sleep like 16 hours, get up, maybe have some soup, and then go back to bed and say, oh, I'm so tired. I'm like, I wish one day I could do that. One day I can do that. It would actually be a dream. It would really be a dream if I could sleep. Like, we had to tell Charlotte last night, like, do not come in our bedroom before 8:30. Like, don't. She went to bed a little bit later last night. Like, don't come into our bed before 8:30. Now, I went up since 6 because I don't sleep in, but I want to lay there. And that's what I want to do. And anyways, that was our week. We also had, what else happened this week that was really exciting? Charlotte's basketball game. She was a little upset because, I mean, she's not very good, but she's definitely better than last year. At least she's like to touch the ball. I mean, she hasn't touched the ball, but she's trying to. And she's running back and forth. And there's, you know, the boys on the team. There's a couple girls on the team. And, you know, they don't really throw to her. And I feel like I notice. But she's trying. But on this day, she was really upset. She's like, no one throws to me. No one. I've never even dribbled the ball. No one throws to me. I've for sure never shot a basket. I really don't know why I'm there. She had a valid point. I'm like, do you want me to say something? She's like, no. I'm like, okay. But for some reason, her team's going to the playoffs. So there's like these two boys. They're all, the boys are pretty good. But there's these two boys that are like the superstars. And I feel that Charlotte has lucked out a little bit getting the teams that do really well with not a lot of help from her. And by not a lot, I mean none. Zero. Zero help from her. But she's there, she's clapping, and she's trying, and that's all I want her to do. And that was that. So with that being said, I am going to talk about a million things, but one thing I thought we would touch on today maybe is the kitchen. And I know we're unpacking, and I know a lot of it is focused on organizing, and in a couple weeks, I'm going to have some guests, you know, a guest here and there, and talking about different things in different areas and supporting women's small businesses in general. I'm just talking to different people in different fields with different stories. We all have stories and I want to hear them all. I'll be honest with you. I'd love to hear all the stories because I have a million stories. And if you have a million stories and only 500,000 of those are the same, think of how much I'm learning every time we talk. So I'm really excited about just unpacking everything, our lives and our thoughts and our feelings and laughs and tears and whatever that may entail. But today, there will be no tears in the kitchen because, as I have said before, and I will continuously say, the kitchen, in my opinion, well, I mean, I really feel strongly about it. So I'm going to say, I really strongly feel that the kitchen is the heartbeat of the house. The kitchen is, everyone goes to the kitchen. Everyone. They need drinks, they need snacks, they need water, they need ice, they need whatever. All their crap goes in the kitchen, it goes on the kitchen table, goes on the dining table, whatever, wherever. There's always people in the kitchen. If you have a party, everyone kind of congregates there. It's just the place where there's food, and sometimes people gravitate to that, and I don't know, that's what I see, the kitchen. So I want to talk about that. I want to talk about a few things about that. So the kitchen is, like I said, it's a very important room. Some people are blessed to have these custom kitchens. Oh my gosh. I mean, some of these kitchens I go into, I'm like, I don't even have enough to fill half this kitchen. There was a house I did for a really, really great client, and they were moving from one house to another house. So I was getting their new house set up. And this kitchen, I swear to God, I mean, is like, it just blew my mind. I don't have anything else to say. I was like, I mean, even their pantry is so big. They don't even eat a lot of pantry foods. I mean, all their foods are like, you know, fresh, everything fresh. Their pantry, which can house, you know, some people's pantries, you need 12 pantries with all the stuff, the cans and the pastas and all this stuff. They didn't even have enough to fill their pantry. I mean, they had other stuff we put in there, but I'm just saying like actual pantry stuff. I'm like, this thing's like a house. This thing's the size of a house. And you know, some people are so blessed to have kitchens like that, that just have really good, you know, really good bones, really good storage, lots of cabinets, lots of, you know, space. But most of us, you know, if we have a house that we've had for a long time, or if you're in certain areas where, you know, it's like your kitchen counter space holds like a cutting board and like a smile, That's it. It's really hard to enjoy cooking. It's hard to enjoy all the things that you like to do. So what do? Sometimes we gravitate to, let's just order out, whatever. I'm just not in the mood. Or, you know, you're moving 27 things to get to one thing. I went to this one, they lived in an apartment. It's like a 2-bedroom apartment. And I mean, I'll be honest with you, it was pretty packed at the seams to the point where I'm like, how are we finding? And also they had a lot of stuff, but a lot of it they used, you know, the kids go to school, they have their lunch bags. And they had like 2 cabinets and the counter space, because their dishwasher, they liked washing a lot of their dishes, which a lot of people actually do. So they have that dish rack on the counter. That was it. That took up everything. So I'm like, are you cutting stuff on your lap? Like, you can't enjoy the moment of the kitchen to actually cook or prepare food, which a lot of us like to do. Now, granted, some of us don't. Some of us have these massive kitchens, and I'll say to them, you don't even cook. Like, you have the most luxurious kitchen that will be in every magazine in the world, and you guys don't even cook. You don't even cook. You don't even cook. There's a lot of things that kitchens are just very, I just love kitchens. I do. I love organizing kitchens. I feel that we gather stuff, we get stuff. How many coffee mugs can one person have? How much? And I go back to the China story. If you listen to my podcast, I think last time or a couple times ago, I was talking about how we feel guilty about certain things, but we also, you know, let's say, what are we in 2025? Let's say in the last 20 years, I mean, some people do use China. I'm not saying they don't, but they use it like once or twice a year. Holidays, you know, if they do big events, Passover, all the holidays, any religious holiday, any holidays, any special moments, yes, you maybe would bust out the China. And even then, I'm being generous and saying 50% of the people who have China actually use it at least once a year. I feel I'm being generous saying that. So a lot of times, maybe their dining room doesn't have space for like a buffet where you can kind of store the china in there, so it's not taking up space in your kitchen. That's a solution for people who just absolutely feel that they need to have china. They got it at their wedding. They got it at their wedding. It was on the registry. You know how many people say that to me? And I'm like, but do you use it? Well, no, but I got it at my wedding. Okay. And I'm not telling you to get rid of it, but I'm just saying is 40 years ago, 50 years ago, getting china from your wedding, it was like a staple. It was like this, I don't know, ostentatious, like you had this beautiful china set. Maybe you lived in an apartment. It was your first apartment with your husband, but you have this beautiful china set and you have this beautiful, you know, this serving stuff. If you did have people over and you just felt good about it and you carried that on to your house and then your next house and then with your kids and all of those things. But now it's just not like that. It's just not. I wish it was. I wish sometimes I hate how things are now in terms of appreciating the stuff that is like a treasure. I'm like a nice china, nice serving. You were proud when you had your dishes and you were serving stuff. And, you know, here's these elegant things. And you know how many people have rooms of buffet style serving stuff when they have, and they have huge families and they do that and maybe still do that, but it's just different times. You know, a lot of times we cater instead of having these things. It's just easier to cater, or we get plastic. We get the plastic tongs, the big like foil pans. We do all of that, put the stuff in there and you're done. You don't have to worry about dishes. Not always. And like I said, this is me just saying what I've observed. I'm not saying not every person uses china, but I can probably guess that I'm on the right track on that statement. I've had people not have unpacked their wedding stuff that was kitchen stuff, and they've been married over 15 years, maybe even over 10 years, maybe longer. So the coffee pots, the this, the that, they're all in the boxes, never been opened. The panini makers that no one makes panini with, the, you know, you had to have it. Again, different time. You did all of those things. It's just different. And first and foremost, I'm going to say this. If you're not a person that wants to get rid of their china, don't get rid of it. However, if your kitchen is lacking a little bit of space, like I mentioned, if you have like a buffet or you have a cabinet that's really high up in your kitchen that no one goes to, you never touch, that's where you store it if you don't think you're going to use it. In the buffet, it's, you know, it's next to the dining table when you're setting up the thing. That's a great space user for some area versus the kitchen, which is your day-to-day usually stuff. Another thing I want to mention is all the stuff that you get, it's in boxes. Now, first of all, boxes take a lot of space. And yes, an Instapot is gigantic and personally scares the shit out of me. I did not get on the Instapot trend. There's way too many buttons. I just shut down at Instapot. If you tell me Crock-Pot, I'm in. I will crock pot till I die. I will crock pot when I'm dead. I will have a soup or something in there, chicken or something, because it's easy. It's like two buttons and you're done. You don't even have to look at it, touch it. The other thing has all these contraptions, all these buttons, these beepers, this stuff. It scares the shit out of me. Won't do it. However, if you have that kind of stuff, take it out of the box. You are more apt to grab something that is accessible out of the box. If I looked up and I was like, you know what, I'm going to make this Instapot recipe, or I'm going to make this panini that I, you know, got this maker 14 years ago, and I look up and it's in the box, I'd be like, I don't even care enough to do that. And it's high up and you got to get on a stepladder. Sure, I get it. Take it out of the box. You're more apt to use it if it's out of the box. If not, regift it. If not, donate it. If not, put it in the garage and, you know, maybe have a shelf for stuff that you're like one day. I'm not big on a one day, but remember, not everybody's like me. So I just try not to have a lot of stuff that I don't use. I'm never going to use an Instapot. I'm never going to use probably a cast iron skillet. I probably will never use that. I want to. There's a lot of things I want to use. There's some really cool things I see people have. I'm like, that's amazing. There's something called like a sous vide or something. Never in a million years would I use that. But man, it would be cool if I did. It really would. So for the people that use it, please do. Take it out of the box. Have it in an area that you maybe don't use it every week or every month, but you know that at least it's out of the box and you know I can grab it. I always say, if I'm not doing it, a lot of people aren't doing it. So if you have stuff really high up that you actually use and stuff that, you know, let's switch it around, let's do that. So that's one thing. Another major pet peeve of mine and many people, regardless if you have 17,000 square feet of a kitchen countertops or you have 7 square feet of kitchen countertops, try not to have appliances on the top. When I set up a kitchen, I'm kind of going backwards here, but one thing I do is I always make a coffee station area. So if there's one single cabinet that has like, you know, your 3 shelves and then below it's a plug, that's the perfect spot. You can put all your coffee cups, you can put your travel coffee cups, you can put, if you grind the beans, if you do the presses. I don't even drink coffee and I had to learn all this stuff because I was like, what the hell is this? What is this? What is this? Wow, there's a lot for coffee. Then now you just have the little K-Pod pack thing and you don't even have to worry about all the other stuff. But some people do all of the fancy, the French press, they froth the milk, they do all that, but they have a cabinet allocated for that. If you're lucky enough, maybe a drawer for, you know, the sugars and, you know, that type of thing. I really try to make it into one area because a lot of people, you know, if they do entertain and they have people over, they can just go to the coffee area and just life is easy. Grab a little tray, put out your stuff, good to go. Life is easy. And I try to do that. And that's a coffee pot or the coffee maker's there or the, you know, whatever it's called, the coffee pot. But with that being said, I know a lot of times we have appliances because we don't have a lot of cabinet space and you have like your toaster oven or your air fryer or your, you know, whatever. I mean, some people have 500 Vitamix. They make a smoothie once a year. What do you have a Vitamix out for then? Well, my husband used to make shakes. Okay, but he does it now. So is there a drawer we can put that in? Or if we don't have a cabinet, is there a space that we can kind of put it in so it's still accessible? But, you know, I don't know. They can use it. Why you need all the stuff on the counter? It just looks cleaner. And also, I mean, you don't need to see all the appliances. There's no need to. It just makes you feel a little bit better and less cluttered on the counter. You know, there's two sides to everything. Some people have the luxury of having these massive countertops where they can display like really nice cutting boards that they don't use. The salt, you know, the little salt thing that maybe they don't even use, but it has the oil and the salt. There's all these decorative things that make your kitchen just really come together. And, you know, you can still do that in a home that doesn't have all of that, but you do have to give yourself a little bit of space. And I really, really, really try to help with that. Not more than the rest of the house, but like I said, I enjoy doing kitchens and whatever. I enjoy doing it. I talk about it a lot. And that is that. So going back to the countertops, I really try to see, obviously we're purging first before we're starting to move stuff off counters and that type of thing. You know, try to limit your kitchen to having one junk drawer. And by junk, it really should just be the easy breezy stuff that you need like every day. You know, you may have 17 million drawers and maybe you can have another drawer that has stuff that's just kind of like whatever. For the basics, you know, your tape, your scissors, you know, maybe stamps, if we still mail stuff, I don't know. You know, things that are important, things that are grab and go, maybe your stickers for your kids' clothes, maybe, you know, a little bit of tape, maybe your measuring tape, like just minimal stuff, some push pins, some, you know, whatever, minimal stuff. I see pens, a couple pens, maybe a notepad. I mean, I see everything in the kitchen sink. I see paint. I see shoelaces. I see, you know, stickers and, you know, crafts that the kids don't even do crafts anymore. Like, let's try to make that drawer just be a one drawer. And every kitchen has it. And every kitchen should have a drawer that's just kind of a utility drawer, just the quick and easy so you don't have to go out in the garage and, you know, whatever, important stuff, whatever, getting your week together stuff, whatever you want to put in there, but just kind of eliminate it to one drawer. Going back to if you have a house that has a dining room, you know, dining room or an area that has your dining table and it has space and you do have like a cabinet or a buffet style cabinet, that's a great place to store like your linen napkins or your tablecloths if you use those. You know, again, I feel like a lot of people still do it because it's generational and their family still does it. But, you know, a lot of people don't. They just, you know, set up their table or they go somewhere or whatever. But if you have all of that stuff, the napkin rings, and it's really fun to set up holiday tables and do like a table runner and all that, that's the place to kind of store it, in that buffet kind of dining room area. So you're just getting the china, getting all the stuff, or getting the nice platters. And that's a really good, and you can get them for fairly inexpensive, or you can go, you know, crazy and spend a bazillion dollars. That's up to you. And I can show you some ideas if you, and give you links to that. As I'm trying to do in each thing that I'm talking about, so you can kind of visually see. I'm a visual learner, so if I see it, again, these are ideas. These are things that I've used in the past. However, it gives you an idea and you go, oh, you know what? I don't like that at all, but I like the direction it's going. Like maybe I would have it, you know, have more drawers or have an open cabinet or glass cabinets or whatever you decide. How do we keep our drawers? So basically how I set up a kitchen, you know, it depends on the layout, but you know, your cooking utensils should be kind of by your actual stove. And I know a lot of us have the thing on top that has the tongs and the, you know, spatulas and stuff, and that's fine. You can have like a couple. Some people have 500 things. Like you pull one thing out and everything comes out. And tell me you're using those every day. No, the stuff that you use every day, your spatulas, your tongs, maybe like wooden spoons or whatever. Whatever you use that you kind of use day-to-day cooking, that's the stuff that should be on top if you are going to have that container that has it by the stove. And the rest can go in the drawer, maybe near the oven or next to the oven if you have the luxury of having that. And then that's just kind of your carryover. I use a lot of containers or utensil things I really try not to use a lot of utensil things for like the big stuff, like tongs and everything, because three of those take up a whole thing. But all your potato peelers or your, you know, garlic grinder things and all of those stuff, can openers, that type of stuff, that's what I use it in your drawers for. And the bigger stuff, I just line it up next to it, and next to it's a container. People feel the need to have an overabundance of containers for organizing when they're not necessary. I love containers, so saying this is a pretty bold statement, because if I could have a container for everything, I would. Does it make sense? Not necessarily. And do you need it? Not necessarily. Let's make it make sense for you and for your home, and just, you don't need it for the bigger stuff. I'm trying to think. So I'm going right now down the row. Usually you have a drawer for like your dish towels, or maybe, you know, you have a drawer for your dish towels. I mean, some people have like 150 dish towels in their kitchen. I'm like, you know, if you have the space, maybe put a few in a drawer and then some in a basket, and maybe put that up somewhere else. But I don't know that you need them all in that drawer, but that's up to you. I mean, whatever you decide. I'm just kind of giving you some suggestions. Utensils, how do you organize those? Oh my gosh, let me tell you what I see in utensil drawers. So you have utensils. Some people have like a set of 32 silverware, 32 of each, or 24 of each, like 24 large forks, 24 small forks, 24 small spoons, like, whoa. And it's like a house of four. I'm like, whoa. But that's fine. If that's what you want to have, maybe you don't do dishes a lot, whatever, that's fine. But that takes up a lot of space. So you might maybe need two utensil things in there, or maybe rubber band, you know, some, and put them kind of towards the back of the drawer, so the whole thing isn't full and it's not overflowing, but it does look neat. I see. Okay. This is what I see a lot. And I get it, but I don't. And I say this because my daughter is so picky with food. I mean, if I have to serve another chicken nugget with ranch, I will literally take my eyelashes, rip them out one by one, and then light them on fire. But that day has not happened yet. but it's going too soon. So I don't have to worry about, oh, well, in my daughter's lunch, I put the extra chopsticks we got from Chinese food because she eats sushi or she eats noodles or rice or whatever. Because you know what? That is a dream child that has a palate that is not cheese pizza and chicken nuggets and ranch. We try, guys. We try. That's a whole other topic for a whole other day. But I am going to say this. A lot of times we get takeout and we keep every pack of sauce. We keep every salt and pepper. Listen, you can go to Costco and buy thing of pepper and thing of salt. It's $5. I think it's a grinder, so it feels like it's even more luxurious because it's in a grinder. Throw the shit away. Unless you truly pack in your lunch a little salt and a little pepper, maybe you do. And keep a couple. If you need to, keep a couple. So what I try to do when I see drawers of like honey, mayonnaise, mustard. I'm like, what? Unless you're giving somebody a dry sandwich, and that's a perfect thing. You could put a little pouch of mustard in there. You will never hear me say mayonnaise unless I just had to say it right now because I absolutely hate mayonnaise. And even saying it just makes me want to peel my skin off. But soy sauce, sure, if you're for your lunch or whatever, or maybe you want to have a couple extras, keep one baggie of an assortment of condiments that you love and then throw the rest away. Like, why are we keeping every takeout set of silverware when in your garage you have 900 of the Costco boxes of their clear silverware, which is like, I don't know how much. I'm going to say $15. I don't remember, but I mean, there's a lot in there. And, you know, keep a couple, but dude, I don't know that you need to have a whole drawer of that. And that's where some of these space things come in. It's like, we're lacking space. This is a way to solve it. Like, pull some of that stuff out of there. Put it in a baggie. Put it in outside and maybe your picnic stuff or your outdoor when you guys do barbecues or something. That's a great time to use that. You know, hang on to it if you want. It doesn't need to be in the kitchen. Unless you're putting that stuff in their lunch for the day, then yes, have a little spot maybe in your, you know, in your kitchen for that. But I don't know why you need, you know, every single grated Parmesan cheese you get from the pizza place. Whatever, but get it down out of a drawer. So then you have an extra drawer to kind of spread out some of the kitchen stuff that makes us crazy. And it does. The trend right now, I feel, is in a lot of cases, they're doing these, especially in these custom kitchens that, you know, are amazing. They're doing like bigger, deeper drawers. And that is a great place for your dishes, your serving dishes, your plates, your bowls, your salad plates. That looks fantastic. It's accessible. It's in the drawer. You grab one, you're not having to lift it. If it's a little bit higher, you know, it gets heavy, you don't break it, whatever. The drawer thing is a nice option if you have that. Obviously, grouping them together. There are people that have, I've seen it where they don't even have a set meaning a couple of the same things. So if I open it up, it's, you know, 12 plates and maybe one set of two plates. The rest is all singles. Maybe all of them broke. Maybe they got them for whatever. Maybe they were free. Maybe someone gave them to them because they gave them something to take home and they kept the plate. You know, if you're fine with that, that's fine. But what I try to do is I try to pare down the stuff that doesn't have a match, at least two. And then I lay it on the table and then we do a drive-by. Like, how many coffee mugs does one need? How many travel coffee mugs does one need? Coffee mugs. Everybody gets a coffee mug because your kids give you coffee mugs. You get coffee mugs at work. You get coffee mugs for your birthday. You get them free. Then you see a coffee mug that says something so funny and a friend gets it for you. And those are great. Or your kids made a coffee mug. God, you never can get rid of that. That'll go into your coffin with you. And it maybe was just a squiggly line, but it's still, they made it and it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. You're not using that. That goes in a memory box. But some of those other ones, maybe pare them down. I mean, you know, it was free because you went to a convention. I don't know that it's going to change your life if you get rid of it. You probably never even used it. So those are the kind of things that I kind of try to, you know, filter out of your life. Bowls and plates, you know, like I said, I'll show you. If there's not two, I show you all the singles and say, are any of these worth keeping? And, you know, sometimes no. They're like, you know what? I didn't even realize I only had two matches and they want to get new or not. Glasses, same thing. All the same thing. When I say this, I'm saying all the same thing. Tupperware. And when I say Tupperware, that just is the old school statement because everyone calls anything that's like what you put your extra food in a Tupperware. But it could be snapware, it could be glass, it could be whatever. The snapware, you know, glass, which is also a really big trend right now, is having all the glass containers, not so much plastic. What I do is I pull everything out of that. And, you know, people still do keep the butter containers and the sour cream containers and the takeout containers and the I was going to meal prep containers, and they don't meal prep, but they have 412,000 of them. Yeah, you can store your food in that too, like even your leftovers. I mean, that's great. Make it like a meal for the leftovers and then put it in there. So then they just heat it up and it's whatever was left over. I mean, you can still utilize them, but I always pull everything out, make sure it has a lid, make sure it has a match. If it doesn't, I show you right away. And if it does, I say, do you need this many of those? Because we all know they give you 9,000 of the teeny tiny ones for like dressing. And you're like, what am I putting in there? 1,000 things of dressing? You don't maybe need all of those. Maybe just keep a couple. I don't know. Just things that I do to kind of scale it down. Pots and pans. If you are not a huge cooker, I don't think you need more than like 7 pots, pans. 7. Like maybe 3 skillets, one of each size, and then like your saucepan, your soup pan, and maybe like 2 other little. I mean, some people have like 3 cabinets of, you know, will I cook, you know, these big things? And if you do, that's great. If you do, wonderful. But if you're limited on space in your kitchen, those big pots that you make soup for 4,000 people when you do the soup kitchen, you know, thing at the holidays, that's the kind of stuff that maybe could go live in the garage or maybe in a closet in the guest room or whatever. If you don't have the space, this is me talking about if you're lacking space when I tell you to pull stuff out of the kitchen, it's just so that you have the space to be able to, with every room, you want to be able to shop it. You want to be able to shop it. I know I always say that about your closet. You want to shop your closet. Like half the time it's a new closet for you, but same thing in the kitchen. You don't want to have to move 12 things to get one plate down or 12 things to get to a pot or a pan. Lids that don't have matches to pots or pans. Why are we keeping those? I mean, I don't understand the reason. But if you want to, absolutely you can. But these are just things that I do on a day-to-day basis that just try to help you scale it down and making your life easier. Organizing the pantry. Pantries are absolutely bananas. I have seen pantries that I'm like, this costs more than my house. Like, you're buying all the stuff that's, you know, I wouldn't even say it may be Whole Foods level, but maybe now it's Erewhon level. It's like, and in the container from the container store that was $20 to put in your $40 this and your $40. I'm like, some of this stuff is so crazy and they look amazing. And you want your pantry to look amazing. And if you have the containers to do it, please do it. Please, please, please. We have a lot of homes still don't have those pull out drawers for pantries, which I will tell you, I don't. And it sucks. It sucks so bad because you're like, even though I have them in acrylic containers, you know, to get to the back of it kind of just is, you know, it's just annoying really when you can pull out the drawer and see everything you have and go, oh yeah, I forgot I have, you know, 75 trail mixes because I didn't have to like stick my head in the oven to get it out because it's pushed all the way to the back. They do make, you can get it on Amazon too, but I've seen them at the container store. For those of you who don't have pull-out drawers and you don't have $50,000 to redo your kitchen right now, you know, they make ones that you can like adhere to the bottom and it is a pull-out like shelf for you. And then you can put your containers on there. And I've seen it and it's fine. It's a great fix. Like, oh my gosh, it just makes your life a little bit easier pulling that stuff out. Containers, I use acrylic for the most part. I use acrylic in the pantries. So you can see for like your sugars and flours and stuff, there's a couple different things I like to use. You know, this is kind of a mixed thing. I do like to use the brand OXO. I do like to use that brand because it has like the snap, the pop down, you know, lid. You can hear it kind of suction for your flours and stuff. Some people are very focused on glass and glass does look nice. And I know, you know, and then there's like the whole look of the bamboo and the natural and the, all of that looks amazing. Some people are not fan of glass, you know, they don't want it. So you can still do it with other options. Maybe you can find bamboo that doesn't have glass and it's, you know, just a like a thicker plastic or acrylic top. Everything is always labeled in the pantry. The first thing I do is I pull every single thing out, every single thing, and lay it on the counter. And before I even say anything to anybody, I just go through the dates on stuff. And unless it looks like something that is really significantly old and it's like wrapped in like a special thing, or maybe it's some like Russian, you know, tea or something that looks like it might have meaning or was a gift that I ask of if it looks really old and dusty and crusty. But for the most part, everything is that in itself is just, you know, you just purging out whatever. And then I just start organizing it. And I always try to use the containers you have. So a lot of people do have acrylic containers already. And then I bring some and, you know, ultimately we hope that they match. And I really like to try to keep things matching if possible or similar if possible. You may not need the same size, but maybe it's the smaller version for certain things, you know, protein bars, granola bars. I try to do a drawer that's snacks, all snacks and a little bit lower so that if you do allow your kids to go in and grab a snack, they can just open up the door or the drawer, pull out the snacks that are accessible to them. If you don't want them to have it, then don't, you know, don't do that. Some people, the kids sneak in and they get snacks and they're eating 75, you know, snacks, fruit snacks a day and not hungry for actual dinner. Different story. But for the most part, I really try to have it so it's kid friendly in the pantry and also actually in the kitchen. So for those of you who have little ones or even just kids, you know, whatever, they have water bottles, they have whatever, lunch bags. I always try to have a drawer that's designated for them in the kitchen. If they're younger kids, I try to keep that drawer a little bit lower. And I'll put, you know, maybe their water bottles and maybe their plates and spoons and stuff. And then maybe the other one has like lunch bags if that's needed. But I do it so that you can teach them, oh, you want water? Go get your favorite water bottle. And then you're letting them kind of be involved. Also, they can play with it and touch it. It's plastic, so it can drop on the ground. They've had more fun because you asked them to go get it. And you're kind of teaching them something and it is accessible to them, especially maybe mom is with the baby. You go, go get me your water bottle and I'll grab it. You know, it just makes it a little bit easier than having everything up. A lot of people have all their kids' stuff up and they're the ones that always have to get it. But then pretty soon they're going to be able to get their own water or hopefully one day, you know. I mean, Charlotte still, I think she could. She just still asked me to. She said she's scared of the ice maker of spilling it. I'm like, okay. So, but I do lower drawers for that. And same thing in the pantry. Cereal boxes or cereal containers. Some people don't want those. They just think it's a waste because the cereal, if they have like three or four kids, it goes fast. Each, you know, they have two or three cereals and they go fast. And why are we going to put it in a container? Whatever, whatever. That's your decision. But I mean, the boxes look messy. And if we want like a clean kind of just like, you know, organic looking, just, you know, streamlined pantry, it is nice to have uniform things. And one thing is if you get your cereal at Costco, you're always getting two bags and you're not going to fit two bags in there. So, you know, maybe on top of your pantry, sometimes there's a cupboard up there, you know, you have a basket that has like your carryover. If you don't, a lot of times I tell people they'll have like a little rack in the garage closest to the door. And a lot of times I make that a Costco or Home like backup, like your extra Kleenex, your extra paper towels, your extra cans. You know, maybe you don't need to have a 72 black beans in your pantry right now. Maybe you only need to have six and that's okay. And then you go and you refill it, restock it, whatever. So there is like a Costco carryover area sometimes in the garage, but the cereals, if you're not using them, put them on top in a little basket and you fill them as you use them and, you know, get, there's so many different cereal containers, you know, get ones that lock. I like the ones that lock better than the ones that just have the press on top. It's just like a little opening where the cereal comes out. I feel like those aren't as suctioned and keeping it kind of, you know, not to get stale, it kind of lose its luster. So there's that. And I will also include links and pictures so you can kind of see what I'm talking about. You know, I have the kitchen kind of flow in a way. I have the pantry kind of flow in the same way as I do the kitchen. So breakfast stuff, if your kids are able to get cereal for themselves and they're, you know, some kids are like 7 years old and can pour a bowl of cereal. Like Charlotte doesn't even eat cereal. So good luck with that. But if she did eat cereal, I don't know. I hope she would get it herself. I did at her age. I did when I was like six. I got my own cereal, poured my old milk. You leave the breakfast stuff a little bit lower, but otherwise like the top two of the pantry. Chips and stuff, the bigger things, I try to keep on the bottom. I always put them in baskets, just makes it easier to pull out. Just get like big, you know, like an acrylic basket. You can even use like a bamboo basket. Doesn't matter. Just put like your chips, your pretzels, whatever you want in there. Snacks are different. Like snack bags, I put those in the snack drawer, like little chippies, little whatever, granola bars, fruit snacks, that type of stuff. Smart Pop, whatever. Pirate Booty, which up until I had Charlotte, didn't know what that was. I was like, what the hell is this Pirate Booty everyone's talking about? I was a little miffed that it was like cheese puffs for kids. I had no idea. Now she loves it. She'll eat that. Don't get me wrong. She'll eat that. So I have it flow like pastas and sauces and cans. You know, I try to distribute the weight on the cans and the pasta sauces, mostly canned stuff or the little bit heavier stuff, just because even though, yes, they're pantry drawers and even though, you know, but if you are a person that uses a million cans, which I do see in houses, some houses, no cans really, except for like real minimal things, like minimal. You know, maybe like black beans or, you know, maybe like pineapple or maybe corn, but you know, usually it's fresh or whatever. The weight of that gets a little taxing. And if you do use a lot of cans, then go to the bottom on that. You can still put them in a, you know, bin bigger bins, or get those pull-out drawers even, like I was talking about. And again, I'll show the link what I'm talking about, but you just want to be kind of mindful of the weight of that. I talked about hand towels. I talked about, you know, the flow. Like I really, if you have like Pyrex dishes, if you have, you know, the stuff like casserole dishes. I mean, you call them that back in the day. I don't know, do people still make casseroles? But those dishes, those like Pyrex, really nice, you know, you cook something in them. A lot of times I put those on the very top shelf of your, maybe your, maybe if you do have your dishes in a, in an actual cabinet on the wall, that's the kind of stuff I put on that third, because you're not using it all the time. You can get on a little single step and grab it. Sometimes we put everything down in the cupboards down on the bottom, and you're just like poking your eyes out because you can't find it. And then you just give up and you're like, never mind. And then you end up using a foil pan, which I will not tell a lie is my new best friend at Costco. You get the pack of those and I just do all my roasted vegetables in that. And it's just, it really just makes life easier. But I do have Pyrex dishes and so I get it. But that's the kind of stuff I put on the top. Like you necessarily, you might use it often, maybe not every day, but it could go on the top and you can get on a single step and grab it. I don't think that's too much. Okay, on the bottom, one of those really amazing cabinets in theory are those corner cabinets. Now, obviously now the new trend is, yes, you have corner cabinets and they have like the kind of shelves built in that kind of, you can turn it like a turntable, like a Lazy Susan kind of vibe. I've even seen now where there are these metal ones that you pull it out and then it pulls forward so that the other part could come out. And then when you push it in, it kind of then retracts back. I mean, that is pretty cool too. But the ones that are just like the Lazy Susan corner cabinets, try not to put all your Instapots and Crock-Pots and all of those on the top shelf. Those go on the bottom where it really has nowhere to go. But that top shelf, even though they could have secured it with like, I don't know, the sun's glue, like the earth's glue of the world that holds it all together, that weight of that is going to make that shelf collapse. And you know how many of those I see where the shelf has just fallen on top of the other shelf and it's just kind of, I mean, it's kind of pain in the ass. And then you're like, well, someone has to come and fix it. No one ever comes and fix it. So try to put that heavier stuff on the bottom. The idea of the corner cabinet is great. You know, you can turn it. Stuff maybe you don't use very often. Sometimes people put like all their baking stuff on there. That's great. Some people even use it kind of as an extension of a pantry. If they have a small kitchen pantry area, they'll use that for maybe like the baking stuff that they don't use as often, or maybe like oils and sauces and stuff. With that being said, okay, the next thing I absolutely love is in the kitchen, usually next to your stove, but now I'm starting to see a trend in different kitchens. So when I say this, it's for the majority, but a lot of people, I mean, there's houses that have like no cabinets on top. It's like all just, you know, counter level down, and then maybe to the side they have like a pantry situation, but there's no like actual top cabinets. So there's no place to put your spices that are right next to the oven, but you can though. So now they make these great things for drawers. I do a lot of spices in drawers. Like some people have an excessive amount of spices and I literally think to myself, but I don't say it, but I am going to say it on this podcast because I'm sure people think it. When are you using 400 spices? I cannot even think, some of these spices I can't even pronounce. I don't even know what you'd use it for. Now, obviously there's, you know, Persian spices and there's all these, you know, Asian spices and there's all these different, you know, Indian spices. Great. That's fine. If you cook with that every day, great. If you cook with that every day, then that's going to still go in the drawer because you cook with that every day. But there's some stuff I'm like, you have 7 bags of these dried peppers. Like when are you using these dried peppers? Probably only 1 bag at a time. So again, put carryover stuff and kind of pull it out. But I try to put the stuff that you would use every day, like your basic, you know, 50, let's say you can fit 50 in a drawer. I think it's like 40, if I'm not mistaken. If you have a normal size drawer, there's risers, or you can just lay them down. I always use the kitchen liners in drawers when I'm setting up a house, just especially for drawers like this, or especially if you're going to have like oils or anything in the cabinet. So when they leak, it's not getting on there. You can always easily just throw away the liner and put a new one down. But it's so easy to just open the drawer and grab your spices. And if you don't have that luxury of having a drawer that you can put your spices, you know, next to the oven while you're cooking and you have them above, that's great too. There's also spice racks in there. I'm a big fan of the turntables. There's those little round acrylic. They even have bamboo. They even have, you know, dark wood. They have all these different ones, but I like the acrylic and actually the bamboo are my two go-tos, but they're like little spinners, and that's where I put all the oils, your everyday oils. Now, you go to Costco and you buy the 7,000-pound jug of olive oil. I don't know that you need to have that just sitting on top of the counter, but you probably have a smaller bottle or maybe a nice bottle that you bought, and you kind of refill it, and you put that in there, and you use your little sprays like your PAM or your canola oil spray when you don't want to use oil, and you know, all this, the basic stuff. I put them on those little turntables. Another thing is, see, I can talk about this forever, and I hopefully am not boring you to tears with this, because it is hard when you're talking about it versus seeing it. And I will show you some before and afters as well of kitchens. But when you have a really deep shelf, same thing in the pantry. I use those turntables. I get the larger ones where you can put stuff in there. So even though I push it as far back as it goes, you're able to spin it and still see. So you don't have to necessarily put your whole head in like you're trying to like light your head on fire in an oven, and you can still spin it and see. Or if you don't have that much, but it sucks to kind of have to go in there because it is so deep, just have it on this turntable kind of pushed a little bit forward, and you can see everything. It's a life changer. That to me is the biggest game changer in a kitchen, is the turntables, because you're like, who fucking knew? Who knew? And well, I knew. I didn't know right away. I didn't know those were around. And one day I'm like, what is this? Let me try this in my kitchen. I'm like, why did I never do this? So those are some tips that, you know, we see, just, you know, I know when you have a new baby, you have the bottle stuff, you have all of that stuff. And when you have a brand new baby, your kitchen counters never look the way you want them to, because you're steaming them, or you're letting them dry, or you're airing them out, or you're boiling them, or whatever you're doing. Then you have the, if you're not nursing, you have the formula maker, and you have all this stuff on the counter. So that's a different caveat there. And you kind of have an exception to that. If you do have babies that are still in bottles and stuff, I definitely try to make either a drawer or a cabinet, usually a cabinet for the baby stuff. And maybe I can put the formula in there, as well as the bottles, and maybe a special container for the bottles, and then a smaller container for like the accessories for all of that. If it's in a drawer, that's even better. But sometimes we just don't have all those extra drawers. So that is that in terms of how to set it up, and just kind of some tricks of the trade. Like I mentioned, you can have a lot of carryover stuff. Sometimes we have 17 serving sets. Like, think about it. You know, do you really even, you don't even do host anymore. Some people are like, I don't even host anymore. I don't want to. I used to love it. Now it's stressful and I don't do it. And if I do it, I cater. So do you still need 17 sets of serving stuff? You might not. And, you know, if you're not ready to part with it, that's stuff that if you are lacking the space in your kitchen, you can pull out, put in a bin of some stuff that you're just unsure of, and hopefully it can fit in your garage, which garages are another day for another 17-hour podcast about. But this is just to kind of get your systems in line. It's just kind of to have it streamlined and not look so crowded and so cluttered. Like, my husband drinks coffee. He has his, you know, coffee thing up there. We do have the air fryer because we use it like for everything, for Charlotte. Really not for us, but you know, for Charlotte, her lunch and her dinner, sometimes even her breakfast on the weekends, you know, we use it. So I'm not going to pull that in and out, but that's pretty much it. And I have a little basket with, like, you know, some fruit. That's it. It's nice when you're at your oven, if you have like decorative stuff, and like I said, you put your oils and like your salt, your pepper, like maybe some basic stuff that you use on like a little tray. You have your hand soap, you know, you have your dish soap. If you want to, I mean, obviously you can put it in fancy bottles and make it look great. And I can't, and I do that in a lot of people's homes. And some people just don't care. They just want it to be streamlined. I label everything. I even label the inside of the drawers. You can't see it. The label does not ruin anything. I've pulled it off, redone it 50 million times, but I do label the tops of the drawers so you know what's in there. I label everything. I use a P-Touch, a Brother P-Touch machine. That's what I use for most of my labels. In kitchens, I do some different labeling for like spice bottles. There's some people that want that look of, I want a clean, beautiful kitchen. I may not cook, but I want it to look amazing. So there are really beautiful bottles that, you know, you can have silver, you can have, I did this house with bamboo, and I did these really cool like white stickers, like square stickers, and with the bamboo insert for the drawers. And I will tell you, it was like a masterpiece. It was like I drew the Mona Lisa. Now, I didn't create those bottles and I didn't create the stuff that did it, but putting it together, I felt like it should be in a museum. And my client, she said it made her the most happy. I mean, she had this beautiful house being custom built, and she said that drawer made her the most happy, which then made me happy, because that's how I felt. I'm like, if I lived here, this drawer sang a song. It really did. When you opened it, it was like, oh, thank you. I think that I see a lot of this. I see a lot in kitchens, and I am not sure. At first, I was not sure about it. And then I'm like, well, we kind of do the same thing. So I have a spice drawer. And then above it, I have a drawer that like where the big oils don't, you know, they don't obviously fit. But I put those on the second shelf in turntables so I can get some of the, or the Costco spices that I buy that we use a lot, like pepper or like red chili peppers or whatever, taco seasoning, that type of thing. Those are on the second shelf. But the bottom shelf, at first I was like, why are we putting all of our medicine? Like you have 17 bathrooms or 4 bathrooms, and then you have all these drawers of medicine. We're not that lazy. We can get it. But I understand, like sometimes you're sitting there, it's just easier to go in the kitchen and get it. So I do have one little acrylic container that has like, most of the stuff is for Charlotte if she's not feeling good. And then I have, you know, some like couple things for David and I if we're sick enough that we want to even take medicine. Most of the time we don't. But I see people that have like 2-3 cabinets of medicine. Like, let's streamline that. Like your vitamins, supplements. There's supplements, huge protein powders and shakes and that type of thing. I just helped in a house where they were fortunate enough to have this one kind of weird cabinet that was kind of off to the side. And it was kind of weird, like you can reach it and grab it and stuff. It was just kind of this weird off, it was just one off cabinet. And I was like, let's put your husband's protein drinks and vitamins and stuff in there. It was like the perfect fix. I mean, I couldn't have planned it better myself. Some people have that space and some people don't. You know, you want an area, if you're gonna be doing protein shakes every morning, some people do. More power to you. I try to put like the Vitamix or the blender in the space right below it. So they just have to take it out. The Vitamix, the Nutribullet, whatever you want to do, put it on the counter, then they wash it, put it back under. Or some people want to leave it out. You can do whatever you want, but I try to keep things that are together. Like I try to keep that together. Vitamins, I know a lot of people need to see them or they won't take them. And that's why they have them in the kitchen in the morning when they're getting their coffee or making their protein, they grab their vitamins and supplements and that type of thing. Great. But the people that have like 17 bottles of children's Tylenol, like keep 2 in the kitchen and put the rest in the bathroom just so you don't have 3 cabinets. Like maybe designate yourself like a shelf or half of a shelf and, you know, have it in acrylic. I always do like a kid's bin and adult bin. I put one of everything in each that we need that day to day. And if it's vitamins, you know, same thing. And the rest, you know, you probably can just get in your bathroom. So that's kind of the kitchen. I mean, I love the kitchen. And what other things that happen in the kitchen is we walk in and the kids, they throw their papers or their backpacks and they throw them on the table and all the papers are on the table and the dining table. And I'm not going to dive into that part right now, but I am going to say everybody has a space on their counter, their kitchen counter. Where that is, I don't know, but everyone has a space. It could just be a small space. It could be half of a countertop that has shit, like paperwork shit, your mail, your this, your that. And I will discuss that further when I talk more about like paperwork and stuff, but your dining table, most people don't sit at their dining table because it becomes a storage place. Or no, they sit, the kids sit in front of the TV or whatever, or they have like a little, maybe they have a big dining table, but then in their kitchen, their actual kitchen, they have like a small little breakfast nook or like a little 4-seater and that's fine. The dining table kind of becomes a catch-all. But when you walk in, you know, we'll get an organizer. We'll try to find a place that's better for paperwork and kids' work. And we'll talk about that further on another day. But I know it's there. I see it. It's there. It's always there. Stuff is always there. They're always bringing stuff home and it never ends. And I know when they get older, they're not going to bring as much stuff home. So that is a bonus in terms of feeling guilty when I'm like, do I need to keep this little stick cotton ball, you know, that has one googly eye on it? And I lost the other one somewhere. I'm not going to feel guilty. I'm going to toss it. It's okay. I'm going to toss it and not feel guilty about it. But I'm going to talk about it on a podcast because obviously I do feel guilty when I chuck stuff. But I just have to say it'll be okay. She's not even going to remember it when she's in high school. She's not even going to care. She'll be like, why'd you keep this crap, Mom? And I'm going to be like, because I love you. And because you're going to live with me forever and live in a bubble next to me. So that's kitchen. I say this all the time. I say this. It is the heart of the home. You want to be able to find stuff. You want to be able to feel like it's clean. Another thing that we kind of notice is when we have housekeepers, if we do have housekeepers at the house, a lot of times their job is to clean your house. So when there is stuff on the counter, all they do is make one big pile and kind of push it to the side or try to hide it, or not hide it in a secretive way, just kind of get it off the counter so they can get to the actual cleaning part. And then we forget about it, and then, you know, it becomes a big thing. So the idea is to have space for everything so that they know. And a lot of times I will let them know if I'm in their house when they're there, like, hey, I moved this. This is where it is. So they know. And that also helps with the labeling. You know, not always, I'm not going to lie. It's not all roses and marshmallows and butterflies, but I try to make it roses, marshmallows and butterflies and gold coins and glitter. I love glitter so much when it gets in your hair and your face. That's fun. So, you know, everybody wants, it's the heart of the house. You want it to be streamlined. You want to have it look, you know, as clean as you can, even though deep down, you know, it's not that clean, but when you walk in, there's not a ton of stuff everywhere. And you try to, you know, we do our best every day. It's not going to be picture perfect. And that's where I go back to an extra set of hands is all we need. And, you know, how much does it make you feel when you can walk into your kitchen and be like, wow, this looks amazing. This feels amazing. And now I know where everything goes. That's the biggest thing is I don't know where to put it. It's like, well, because, you know, we got to be smart with the space you have. And some people have the great luxury of these massive kitchens, but some people have just regular, you know, normal kitchens. And sometimes it's really think about what you use, really think about all those parties you think you're going to have, but you don't, and go from there, you know, and it really kind of give you a little bit less anxiety and make you just be able to take a deep breath and go, I got this. And today was a good day. And if I can get them to feel that way, and it makes me happy. I love talking about it. I enjoy it because I do know that it is stressful when things are not the way you want them to be. And you try to get them that way and you just don't have the bandwidth, don't have the time, don't have the mental capacity, and you are stretched super, super thin. So here I am. Please give me feedback. Please let me know if you have any questions. Like I said, I'm going to try to have the links for some of the stuff I talk about just to give you an idea. If you are interested, if you're interested in talking to me about services, please reach out to me. If you have feedback on the podcast, I'd love to hear from you. It makes me happy when people text me and they say, like, I listened to it and, you know, it was really special. And I really appreciate that more than you know. I don't want to cry just yet on these podcasts by talking about it, but I will say I do appreciate it. I appreciate you taking the time to listen to Unpacking with Jennifer. It means a lot. Check me out on social media. InItsProperPlace.com is my website. Social media, Jennifer_Sattell. In Its Proper Place LA is on Instagram. I look forward to talking to you again, and thank you so much for listening, and have a great day. Thank you.
That's a wrap on today's episode of Unpacking with Jennifer. I hope you're walking away with a little inspiration and a few practical tips to make life at home just a little bit easier. If you love today's episode, be sure to subscribe so you never miss a new one. And if you found it helpful, I love if you left a quick review. It helps more moms like us find the show. Let's keep the conversation going. You can find me on social media at Jennifer_Sattell for more organizing tips, behind-the-scenes moments, and a whole lot of real life. Until next time, take a deep breath, give yourself some grace, and keep unpacking what matters most.